God that led us here. And so we look back at that rich heritage God has given us in the Reformation and the creeds and the confessions, and even physically in our own families and our ancestors. And we all want to honor that. But also, as I look forward, what I want for this church plant is to see it long outlive me. I would love to die and for this church to go on for many, 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 many years. In fact, I was talking with a church in Escambia, and they're asking me, hey, where do you see this church plant in 50 years? Where do you see yourself in this church plant in 50 years? And I said, honestly, I'll probably be dead. I just will. And I hope the church plant is strong, going strong and established. And I want to be a heritage for my children and for their children's children and for this area. And then we have in Psalm 16, where David writes, the Lord has given us a goodly heritage in Christ. And so that's my thought process on what to, you know, we're getting to that point where Winchester's work, 72, Bible study doesn't really work. I think it's time for us to consider a name. And that's my suggestion. I'm pretty set on that, but if you have other ideas or have a really strong reaction, just let me know. We can talk through it. But I think that'd be a good name for this church. You may have noticed you have a hymnal, well, technically Psalter and hymnal. It's called the Treasury of Psalms and Hymns, and these have been provided for us by two brothers, Greg Lyles and Brett Waldrick, First Presbyterian Tuscumbia. Inside the hymnals, on the right behind the cover, you'll see two things. Firstly, they're very resilient, very strong, well made. You'll find this little hymn quick reference sheet. We'll have a time in our service where we request to sing different hymns. And so, given that's a new hymnal, maybe to you, I put about 75 or so of the most famous hymns on this list. So when we come to that time, you can just look, I really want to sing it as well with my soul, and then 717, or whatever it might be. Additionally, you'll find this little card here. This is just for me. I know a lot of you guys. I have a lot of your names and numbers and emails, but if I don't, or if you're not sure, if you could just write your name, your phone number, your email on this, and then we have a box in the foyer. It says gift box for offerings. Just put that in there or give this to me. Just so, let's say next week, Asher comes down sick, Ella comes down sick, Luke comes down, one of our main children comes down sick, or something, you know, whatever. I can send out a text, I can send out an email, make sure everybody gets the word. So if you're planning on sticking around and coming and visiting, let me have your name, number, just so I can be in contact with you. And additionally, if you have any prayer requests, we'll have time in our service to share prayer requests, but if you have one that you don't necessarily want to share with everyone, these will stay private with me and the session of North Hills to pray over. And eventually, if the Lord blesses the session of this church in the future. But for now, these will stay private to me and other elders to pray for. If you say a prayer request in prayer when we have that time in our service, I'm going to assume that I can write it down in a bulletin to remind people to pray about it, those types of things. But if it's a little bit more private, just write it down, stick it in the gift box, or just give it to me. Speaking of the offering box, we are starting to incur some costs, and this church is being rented to us at a very generous rate, very thankful blessings. But if you would like to give, we do have a gift box in the back. You can put a check, put cash in there to support our work. If you would like your gift to be tax deductible, it needs to be matched to North Hills Church. If you're new with us, we've got some new visitor bags with some resources in the lobby. And then we'd like for families to worship together here. That's important to me. It's important to our denomination. In our announcement 6, you'll see that's from our PCO Book of Church Order. Speak of the devil, right? Children are a heritage from the Lord. And wiggles and wanderings and noises are absolutely welcome here. We love children here. Yes, we do. We love children. And so my children will probably be running around a little bit. You'll probably see me up here leading with Asher a couple times. That's totally fine. So if your children are making some noise, don't stress. Don't worry. Please. We're glad they're here. There is a playroom for younger children if you need to go. And then I have in the back row some busy bags with a notebook and coloring stuff and all kinds of fun stuff for kids. And your older kids are welcome to grab those. Two more things. We're looking for about 3 to 4 more households to commit before we can move into mission church status. So if you or your household would like to be part of this church plant specifically, not just coming to support me or check it out, but if you're like, I like this, I want this to succeed, I want to be involved here, please let me know at the potluck. That doesn't obligate you to really anything. It's just for me to know you're committed, you're going to be coming, you're going to be praying and supporting us in that way. Just let me know if your household is in that stage. And then lastly, if we're going to be singing a cappella tonight, I love a cappella, I grew up a cappella. But that's not necessarily a convictional thing for me. I'd be happy to worship with an instrument. And so if God has gifted you with musical ability, and you want to use that gift in our service, just let me know. We have a little bit more space now. We can do some different things. And they said that we could use some of their instruments. So if you play piano and you really want to help out in that way, please just let me know. But that's all our announcements. I know that's a lot. That's what I have written down there. And then if you have any questions, just ask me at the potluck. But we are here to worship our God together as God's people. And it's our God who calls us to worship Him. So if you would stand with me for our call to worship from Psalm 95. I'll read the light print if we all together will read the dark print. God says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." If you would turn with me to hymn number 510, that's a typo, first bulletin, and I already did that. Hymn number 510 in the Treasury of Psalms and Hymns. We're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy together.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee.
Holy, holy.
join together to offer up our meager worship to you this evening. Bless our worship. May we sing with full hearts. May we pray with earnestness. May we hear your word with obedient hearts. Bless us in our worship and help us see Christ more clearly because of this time. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Then your Bible will throw me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, for our reading of the law. I'm going to read this for us, and this let this inspire us in time of silent prayer, confession to our God. We have sinned against him in thought, word, and deed this week. 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 11. Paul writes, "But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to the sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Take time for silent prayers and confession to our God. Father in heaven, as we look at your law and consider it, we recognize we are not righteous. And it's not for us to puff ourselves up. It's not there for us to tick it off like a box and a checklist. But instead, it's there to be used lawfully, to remind us of our sin, Lord, that we have been ungodly. We have been sinners and unholy. We've hated even our own fathers, our own mothers. We have killed others in our hearts. We have lusted, committed adultery. We have lied. We've done so much against your holy law. Lord, we confess our sins, hiding nothing from you, knowing that in Christ we are forgiven and loved, not based on our righteousness, but based on Christ's. It's in his name to lift these up and ask for you for forgiveness and cleansing. Amen.
Amen.
And now the assurance of pardon, continuing on in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Paul writes, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. We confess our sin, we will confess our faith this evening. On your bulletin, you have two questions from our denomination's catechism, or one of them, the shorter catechism. We're going to be using this for a little bit to go through. We're going to be using the shorter catechism for a little bit in our worship to help us get a grasp of who Christ is and what our faith is. And so I'll ask you the questions if you respond with the words in bold. Christian, I ask you, what is the chief end of man?
Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever.
And Christian, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him?
The word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him.
Amen.
We'll
have time now. If anyone has a hymn request or a song request, we'll sing those together.
What's that,
552? Say that when I heard it. How great thou art. We'll sing 552, "How Great Thou Art." Larry, would you mind starting us?
Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take thee home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Daniel can start it this time.
520.
I'm not familiar with that one, so we're...
The love of God is
greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
It goes beyond
the highest star and reaches to the lowest end. and mountain saw.
God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song.
Something is covering a rash and then be going to Texas. So be praying for her health and travel. She'll be going to Texas next week. So we won't see her or Rob for a couple weeks. So be in prayer for them. And a prayer request this evening. We need to pray, if you haven't heard, Pastor Adam, he's pastor at North Hills from Korean Church, where I'm associate pastor. His mother was diagnosed with lung cancer, stage 3 lung cancer. And so he's been traveling a little bit to South Carolina to see her, but we will be praying for her for healing. Anything else this evening?
I'm against getting y'all's prayers. I'm moving up to Michigan after this week for college, so I got to pack everything up and take a long drive.
Yes, be praying he gets rejected. We'll pray. All right. Let's pray together. Father Heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this time again. Thank you for being able to join together our voices in song, even in the midst of warmth and heat, Lord. Thank you that we can set aside our normal concerns and cares and worship our God, for you are great and greatly to be praised. You're a great king above all false gods. So bless us as we continue to worship you and be with us as we bring our prayers and needs before you. Lord, you know our needs. You know each of our desires, each of our wants, each of our troubles. Lord. So I pray that you would bless each and everyone here. Bless our families with steadiness, solidity. Bless our fathers with courage and ability to lead well. To love their wives as Christ loved the church, to raise their children, and nurture and admonition of the Lord. I pray for our wives here, Lord, that you bless them with a gentle and quiet spirit, that they be known by their faith and godliness, that they would be a living picture of your goodness to us, to our church, to the world around. Lord, I pray that you would bless our children, that you give them patience with us and our failures and our sins, but also obedience, and reverence for you and the honor to give it to parents. Bless our children, bless our wives and husbands. We pray, Lord, for Dave as he prepares to go and leave his parents' house to go to college. Bless him as he strikes out on his own up in Michigan at Hillsdale. Give him success there. Establish the work of his hands. Lord, I pray that even now you'd be preparing the way for him, guiding him where you'd have him to be and to go and to do good things and even great things for you. Thank you for the opportunity of Pastor Lee as teacher for 4 years at Westminster. and the young man you've made him to be blessed him. Lord, we do pray for Jana. Pray that you would be with her, her allergic reaction. We all know the feeling of hives and rash and the frustration that causes and the uncomfortableness. So comfort her. And pray that you would heal it quickly, that she'd be back to normal, be able to travel soon to Texas. Thank you for her and Rob, and thank you for their support of this church plan, the support of all of us, and their kindness and friendship. Pray that you comfort them and bless them. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Adam and his family. We ask that you would be sweet to his mother, that you would heal and relieve her of her illness. And through ordinary and even extraordinary means, Lord, that you would remove this cancer from her. But Lord, we know your will is not always what we will. And we want your will to be done. So we ask that you would give Adam strength and trust in your sovereignty and power, Lord, that you know all of our days. Before there is yet one, you've written them all in your book. So bless him with comfort, bless his mom with comfort as well, in your sovereignty and wisdom. But may none of us take for granted any day of life, but instead use every day to honor, love, and glorify our Father in heaven, and enjoy him forever. Lord, bless us and continue to worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I'll be preaching from Isaiah 40, 10 through 31 tonight. And I'm going to read our New Testament reading, then our Old Testament reading, and then we'll jump into our sermon tonight. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 5. Peter writes, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In our Old Testament reading, Isaiah 40, 10 through 31. God says, Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? And weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him, and taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melted the graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold, and cast silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he has no offering chooses a tree that will not rot. And he seeks a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as a grasshopper. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalks shall not take root in the earth. He shall blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, says the Lord? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong, his power not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the promises of 1 Peter and the promises of Isaiah. I ask now as we come to hear your word preached that you'd be with me, give me words to speak, to bless, to convict, to move, not by my power, my eloquence, but by the mighty working of your Spirit in our hearts. Mold us more into the image of Christ through this sermon, and bless us as we consider your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're here to worship tonight. That's what we've been doing. And it is a joy to be together. But worship in and of itself is not why this is good. You can worship anything. Going together and worship. They sang and they danced and they said and prayed prayers and offered children to Baal worship. The Israelites at times did the right things, but didn't worship God rather themselves and their traditions, and it was detestable to God. Worship is only as good as what is being worshipped. Who are we here to worship tonight? Who is the Lord? We could, and we will, spend eternity answering this question. We will never fully understand God. We'll never fully grasp Him and who He is. We could spend months going through Old Testament passage and New Testament passage, putting together a clearer picture of God. But our text tonight is where I want to start. I want to cover other things. We're kind of in a little series starting out. What is a church? What is our doctrine? What do we want this place to be about as a church? And now I want us to really focus in on, I think it's appropriate for our first worship service, to consider who is the Lord? Who is our God? Who are we here to worship? What does that mean? And so we're going to look at Isaiah 40. My theme tonight is the God we worship is a God of infinite wisdom, power, and love. He's a God of unsearchable wisdom, unprecedented power, and unceasing love. Consider the wisdom and knowledge of God on display in this chapter. Right at the start, he's portrayed as a good shepherd tending his flock. I know some of you have raised animals before. Some of you have animals right now. We've got chickens right now. And taking care of animals requires an immense amount of knowledge and wisdom. What do they eat? Where do they sleep? What protection do they need? How do you care for them when they're sick, when they're pregnant, when they're young, when they're old, and more? What do you do when it's a really hot day like today? What do you do with chickens? What do you do with dogs? What do you do with pigs or cows or sheep? You have to know things. To be a good husbandman requires a good mind. And we see the Lord here has all wisdom. Take care of his flock. He feeds them. He gathers the young lambs. He leads the pregnant. He tends them all. He knows you and knows everything you need from infancy to old age. But he not only knows us, he knows this entire world. God knows every piece of water, every twinkling star, every mote of dust. He knows the exact weight of every mountain, every hill. He knows everything and directs everything. From the journey of a molecule of water down the Flint River to the flight of a hawk over a farmer's field, to the very paths of the stars in the sky, the exact weight down to the ounce of Montesano Mountain. Every piece of information is our Lord's. There's nothing outside of his sight or beyond his knowledge. And he knows the best way to utilize that knowledge. He's not merely an unending encyclopedia of trivia, but rather he uses this knowledge and wisdom for good. He needs no one to give him advice. He needs no one to counsel him. He always knows what is best. I don't know about you, but I am not this way. I need counsel. I need wisdom. I text my mom and dad are here tonight. I text daddy all the time. What do I do with this? How do I fix this? What is this? Even in something as simple as buying an oven. We research. We get opinions. We read reviews. We seek outside counsel and information. And how much more when it's something not so simple? How much counsel did you seek before marrying your spouse? How much research did you do in choosing a pediatrician? How much did you pay for a house inspection before you bought your house? We need knowledge and wisdom because we are finite creatures. We're all too often ignorant. We're all too often foolish. But our God has infinite wisdom, all knowledge. Ironically, though, we often presume to be wiser than God. We can say, maybe not explicitly, but through our actions and attitudes, we can say, I know more about my situation than God does. I know more about what's actually wrong in my life than he does. I know what should happen better than my Lord. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. If God really understood how difficult my work was, he would excuse my cursing and bitterness. If God really understood how unloving my husband is, he would excuse my nagging and complaining. If God really understood how cold my wife is, he would excuse my wandering eye. If God really understood how mean my parents are, he would excuse my rebelliousness. If God really understood, he'd know my way and he would give me justice. And he obviously doesn't because he doesn't seem to understand what I'm going through. He isn't giving me justice. What does our text say? Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Israelites are dealing with the same things we often deal with. God sees, and God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows what you need. He is the good shepherd who knows how to feed you. He knows when you need to be gathered up and carried. He knows when you need to be gently led. He knows when you need to be bonked on the head with his crook. He has measured your heart in the hollow of his hand. He comprehends your struggles and trials in a measure. He weighed your sins and enemies and griefs all in a balance. And he knows better than you do, better than I do. You might think you know all things. You do not. You might think you're wise enough to rule all things, but you are not. But you have a God who has unmeasurable wisdom. And so we must reject grumbling and doubting God's wisdom. The problems you face, the unloving husband, the cold wife, the harsh parents, the dreaded diagnoses, they are not outside of God's knowledge or wisdom, but rather they're given to you in God's wisdom. This week when you find yourself grumbling and complaining about your work or whatever it might be, we must stop and recognize that our way is not hid from God. And that what we're really doing is saying that God is blind, that God is ignorant, that he's foolish. And in doing so, we recognize that we are the one who is blind, ignorant, and foolish. We must repent, confess it to God, and take our worries and cares to the only one with enough wisdom and knowledge to actually fix it. Begin seeing all things not as unexpected difficulties, but as wise gifts from a wise God given to you. God wisely gave me a hard week so that I can learn to be as patient as Christ is. God wisely gave me a difficult day with my spouse so that I can learn to love my spouse as Christ loves me. God wisely gave me a thorn in the flesh, a difficult diagnosis, a bum knee, whatever it might be, so that I may not be puffed up. That I can be humble and recognize that God knows what is best in all things. Seeing and knowing is good, but useless without ability. I can see someone broken down on the side of the road. I can know how to fix their car, but unless I have the tools, the ability, the power to help, they're going to stay there stranded. God sees you and knows you, but does he have the power to actually help you? And the text answers this with a resounding yes. The Lord is a God of unprecedented power. Consider what this text tells us about God. The nations are a drop of water in a bucket. What do you think about that? We live in Huntsville. Some of you guys work on the arsenal. You know all the fancy toys, all the fancy things that our military has. And all the military might of every nation, every tank, every bullet, every bomb, every drone is a drop of water, a little sweat drop. You know, we worry about Russia and China and the power of nations turned against us. But were every nation on earth to join arms together in war against the Lord, all the might they could muster would be no more than a little ant warring against a grown man. With all our technological mastery and powers of destruction, all it would take is a tiny push of God's thumb to wipe it all out. Our power is less than nothing beside Him. But not only do we seek power from nations and militaries, we seek power from other gods. Or fear others seeking power of other gods. We might rightly worry about the impact of Islam on the world and our country. And we seek to stem the tide of the atheistic apostles transforming our culture into one that worships nihilism and nothingness. And we ourselves look to other gods. We pray the Lord, and when that doesn't go the way we want, we begin to shop around our worship to something that will work. And cancer continues to spread despite prayer. What do we trust? When the budget's getting tighter and tighter, what do you look to? Now, we want to jump ship and start worshiping Odin or Allah or something extreme like that, but we're quick to build an idol of the expertise of a doctor, the financial advice of a man, our own wisdom and power and more. We want the power to have things our way. And when God declines to use His power on our behalf, to satisfy our desires, we turn to other strengths. But there is no other God. Every other source of strength is nothing more than a dumb, mute idol that has no power, no ability, cannot save. God alone is. And He has all power. He stretched out the heavens. He sits over princes. He created all the stars and sustains them. We are like grasshoppers, the text says. We small, insignificant. You may be a man of great physical strength. You may be a man of great intellectual prowess. We have great connections and great tools and great power, but all your strength is the strength of the insect. Can you by your strength stretch out the heavens? Can you by your power sustain the stars? Can you by your ability care for the deer and the rabbits, and the cows and the crows? What use is your power against sin? Against death? Against all the falsehoods in this world. It's about the use of a grasshopper against a tornado. But we are not alone. We worship a God who is a God of unprecedented power. And so we must reject idolatry of things that promise salvation but can deliver absolutely nothing. What was Christ's hope in the Garden of Gethsemane? Was it in the strength of His disciples to save Him? Or in the expertise and intelligence of a really good lawyer? Or the decency and compassion of the Jewish people? His hope was, "Thy will be done." And likewise, as we face our own struggles this week, do not turn to the power of human ability or false gods. When you face things that are too much for you, recognize they are too much for you. And turn to the Lord with humility and say, "I'm weak, but nevertheless, Thy will be done." And trust God to give you strength in the fight on your behalf. We don't have to fear our enemies. Your sin is mighty. Satan is powerful. Our human foes are devious. But Christ went to the cross and triumphed over all His foes and rose from the dead in power and sits at the right hand of God as King of all. And this King fights for you. And we know that whatever reason God has for whatever He does or doesn't do is good. Because in Christ, God's infinite wisdom and power is for you. He is a God of unceasing love. In our trials and temptations, we can lose sight of God's love for us. When life is hard, when our sin is great, when we feel dirty, it seems like God has abandoned us. It can be hard to really believe that He loves me. you can find yourself saying, my way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. But hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Do you feel your weakness and frailty? Too weak to conquer your sin, too small to handle your burdens, too ignorant to tackle your problems. He giveth power to the faint. And to them have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fail, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Why? Why does God promise to give strength to ignorant little grasshoppers like me, like you? Because he loves us. He has set his love upon us. He loves you. Not because you're especially intelligent or strong or great, but purely because he chose you in Christ in love. And because of that, he promises strength and provision and guidance because his love is unceasing. And so since the Lord loves you, wait on the Lord. What does that practically look like? It tells us to wait. Imagine you go to Publix over here on Winchester Road, and you see my car, you see me sitting in the car, and you come up to me and say, hey there, Jacob, what you doing? I said, I'm waiting on Luke. You might a little confusedly ask, you let a 7-year-old go into Publix alone? I said, no, I'm waiting for him to get out of school. You'd be rather concerned about my mental state. He said, Jacob, this is Publix. Westminster School. This is a Publix. Yeah, there's no use waiting on him here. A place he isn't. We wait on the Lord by being where the Lord can be found. In his word, in his worship, in his sacraments, in prayer and praise. These are where we comprehend and experience his love for us. And so this week, as you wait for the Lord in your circumstances, when you need strength, when you need guidance, do you need help, as I do so often, be where God is. Start tomorrow with prayer and scripture before work fills your mind, before worries eclipse your heart. Sing praise in your car on your drive instead of talking heads or gossip and fears. Fill your head with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And come to worship our God, who is a God of unmeasurable wisdom, unprecedented power, and unceasing love. As you do this, what you'll find is that though you are ignorant, though you are foolish, weak, and weary, through these things, the Lord will renew your strength to honor and glorify him in whatever he calls you to and through this week. The Lord is a God of wisdom beyond measure, power beyond imagining, and love beyond all understanding. And Father, Son, and Spirit all work unceasingly to provide for his people, for you, for me, all that we need in order that we might glorify him. This is the God we join together to worship here. But all the beautiful and comforting truths of God have a hard and terrifying side. You know, a gun is a wonderful tool. It's a source of comfort in the night, when there's a knock at the door or a noise outside. It's a good thing. But have someone turn a gun towards your face, and all the comfort and security a gun gives turns to terror and fear. If you do not know God, be warned. God knows you. He measured out the very heavens with a span. He knows every molecule of water. He knows you. He knows your every thought and desire and sin. Your way is not hidden from him. Every secret sin, every bitter thought, and angry attitude, no matter how well you might hide it from everyone else, God sees and God knows. If you've not trusted in God's power to save, be warned, God has power to judge you. He has power over all reality, over the stars, over the lives of princes, and over you, me. And all of our strength, and all of our ability, and all of our righteousness is nothing before him. He will blow upon you, and you will wither. No matter how strong healthy, wealthy, powerful you are, God will bring you into judgment. And if you do not know the sweetness of God's love, be warned, you will know the bitterness of his wrath. He loves specifically. He loves righteousness and goodness and order and beauty. He loves goodness. He loves his son. He loves his people. I love my children so deeply. And when you love something deeply, how do you feel about the things or people who are against what you love? If somebody hurts your child or is malicious towards them, you would be angry. You would hate them. You want them to pay. Hatred is not the opposite of love, but rather an expression of love in the negative. God loves deeply and infinitely, and it is out of love for what is true and right that he deeply and infinitely hates and abhors what is false and evil. No matter who you are, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in you. God is against you. Apart from Christ, God's infinite wisdom is turned against you to measure and count every sin. Apart from Christ, God's infinite power is against you to punish to the uttermost. Apart from Christ, God's infinite wrath abides upon you. But in Christ, oh brothers and sisters, in Christ, all of God is for all of you. All his unmeasurable wisdom, unprecedented power, unceasing love is bent to you and your God and your good. In turning to Christ in repentance and faith, you go from an enemy of God to a beloved child. And what father would not use every ounce of wisdom, power, and love for the good of his children? And it's for that reason we worship our God. If you would, pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for this night. Thank you for this word. I pray, Lord, that as we go about this week, you would bless us. Help us to be where you are, waiting upon you. May we know and trust in your wisdom, your power, and your love. And Lord, even now, I pray that you would work maybe for the first time to bring those to know you. Lord, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I pray that we would trust in Christ and receive that fatherly love. Bless us as we go, as we enjoy our meal. I pray that the meal would go well. Bless the food. Give us a good time of fellowship. In Jesus' name. If you would stand with me for our charge and benediction. After which we'll sing the doxology on your bulletin. Saints, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Fellowship hall down this way. I just prayed, so y'all go ahead and we'll get set up and start eating. I want you to come and join us.
Yeah, so.
And, oh.